Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last week we began teaching Sefer Melachim, and we spoke about Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph. Effectively, Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph had the episode of Avishag Hashunamis, right? This woman who comforts King David as David is elderly and not well. And then we have the rebellion of Adoniyahu ben Chagit. And then what we see, amazingly, in the parak, and we tried to focus on this last week, is that David HaMelech suddenly gets better, right? David, who seems to be so weak and so infirm, and at the beginning of the parak, suddenly he gets better, and he instructs that Shlomo should become the king instead of Adoniyahu, and they go and they have a coronation ceremony for David, and David rides for Shlomo. I'm getting tired already, right? They make a coronation ceremony for Shlomo HaMelech, and they go down to the Gichon. The pasuk says that they coronated him al Gichon. It sounds like the wellspring where they coronated him had like a little hood, a cover, and they coronated Shlomo over there. He rides on the king's mule. Actually, if you go down to Silwan today, you'll notice that there is like a little, you could look down into it. No, you could stand on top of the spring and you could look down. I think that's probably the Al Gichon area where Shlomo was coronated. The fact that he had to ride a mule instead of a horse is because the roads over there are very, very narrow, etc. So Shlomo has to get there, he has to ride a mule. And then, right, effectively what happens is Shlomo HaMelech is king. And Shlomo, when he becomes king, Shlomo says, you know what? Okay, now that I'm king, what I'm going to do is I am going to not punish Adoniyahu. Right? The very end of the perek speaks about how Tzadok and Nasan Hanavi anoint Shlomo as king. And then all of the people in Adoniyahu's party are scared to death, because, oh my gosh, we're going to die. And Shlomo says about Adoniyahu, "Im yelaven chayelo yipom misarasa artzav." He'll be a valiant fighter. He won't suffer at all. "Im ra'ati matzebo v'meis." But if bad happens, then he'll die. And they take Adoniyahu back from the Mizbeach. Adoniyahu lives on. And now we're ready for Perek Beis of Sefer Melachim. But first we have to deal with a question.
Okay. So, the fact that Shlomo was not coronated in the Beit Midrash, does that mean that kings do not have to be coronated?
Coronation of kings is always done by a source of water. The Gemara in Horios explains that it was done that way to show that Malchuso Yimashich Kamayim, that just like the water continues to flow, we want the king, the kingdom to last and last and last. That's one of the sources of our minhag of Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. Because when we coronate God on Rosh Hashanah, whatever the heck that means, right? We don't really understand what it means that we're coronating Hashem. We totally don't understand that. But whatever it means, right, we try to do it by water, etc. Okay, so now we're ready for Perek Beis of Sefer Melachim. Perek Beis, let's just read the first section, the first 12 psukim. I break it down into different sections. This first section is about the instructions that David is going to give his son Shlomo. Let's read it and let's try to figure out what is here, what isn't here, what is a little bit strange about these instructions, and then we'll try to draw a picture about what's going on and to see how this carries out in the remainder of the perek. Okay, so let's spend a minute reading the first section, the first like 11, 12 sukkim here in Perek Beis. Okay. We'll give it another minute. Now, I also cheated. I also broke the perek down with like a little space mark. Right? It's like one of the old cheating techniques. So what is the basic theme of the first 12 psukim of this parak?
What you do after
that
is the charge.
The charge, right? In other words, new king, we give you a charge. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're saying follow the ways of God and appoint these people.
So the first four psukim are very general, keep Torah and mitzvos. Right, that's obviously very important. There is a teeny bit of a problem in that Pasuk Dalet really sounds like Hashem is David is telling Shlomo, you know what, Shlomo, if you keep the mitzvos, so then your kingdom will last. And that's a problem because presumably the kingdom lasting or not lasting is not about keeping the mitzvos. The Psukim tells in Sefer Shmuel that Malchus Beis Dover will continue whether or not they continue the whether or not they keep the mitzvos. But that's like a detailed problem. There's also another slight problem at the beginning, which is that it sounds like David is telling Shlomo keep the mitzvos so that your kingdom should last. That would be Almanas Kabel Pras. Right, we're not supposed to do mitzvos in order to get a reward. We're supposed to do mitzvos because it's the right thing to do. Right? So that is a problem. But I think the first four psukim are relatively straightforward. That David is telling his son Shlomo, listen kid, I'm dying. You're going to be king. Be good. Keep mitzvos. And I don't think there's any real problem with these first four psukim. So, agreed?
Right.
Agreed. Okay, again, if you want to look for problems, we could, right, niggle in, but I think basically this is the issue. Next. The next six psukim, though, or so. Pasuk Hey through Pasuk Yud. What's the theme over there?
How to deal with individuals
that what?
Either were loyal or disloyal to God.
Okay. In other words, I would read this, and I think the standard way of reading this is that David is telling his son Shlomo, okay, kid, I want you to settle the score. There's all these people out there whom have to suffer because they were not loyal. Kid, I want you to take care of it. And by the way, there's another person or two who were good to me. Take care of them also. Right? That, I think, is settling the score. Now, yeah.
At that time, did they have set up a court system?
For sure.
Okay, so then my question is, why wouldn't the court system take care of it?
So there are certain things that the king, and this is the famous Droshos Haran at the beginning, where the Droshos Haran explains that the court system is limited. The court system is limited because the courts can only punish if you have Edim and Hasra, if you have witnesses, if you have a warning. A king has much more discretion than a court system. A king can punish, it's almost like, you know how we have the 14th Amendment in the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is the elastic clause, basically that any authorities not dealing, right? So the basic idea of the king is that the king can fill in all of these lacunas. We're going to talk more about that later, but there definitely was a king. But what's the problem with this approach? David is telling Shlomo, kid, I want you to settle the score. They have all these people who, Yoav ben Tzruya, right, he killed two Sarei Tzivos Yisrael, he killed Avner, he killed Amosa ben Yeser. Shlomo, take care of him. Shimi ben Gera, take care of him. What's the problem? First of all, right, the problem is like this. If I have a son who I want to succeed as a leader, is it a good idea that the first thing I want my son to do is to start up with the general? Probably not, no? To give my son, new king, advice. I want you, by the way, to kill the general. Kill Yoav. Right? Now, if I would be Shlomo, I'd look at him and I'd say, Dad, what the heck? You have been a king for 40 years, no? And you weren't able to kill Yoav ben Tzruya. And I, young little Shlomo, how old is Shlomo HaMelech now according to Chazal? 12 year out. He's 12 years old, not even bar mitzvah. So, yeah, I'd imagine Shlomo would say to David, David, Daddy, I love you, but come on. You'll take care of him. What, you want me to settle your score? I can't do that. Right? If you couldn't do it, how do you expect me to do it? That, I think, is one major problem. Now, we can phrase this problem slightly differently, which is from the halachic perspective. David HaMelech, if people rebelled against you, they were morid b'malchus. So, you can kill them. You're the king. Shlomo says, even though I'm going to be king, but I can't kill the people who were morid against your malchus. Morid b'malchus is if you rebel against me to enforce my rule, I can kill you. Right? But I don't think Shlomo had the right to kill Yoav and Shimei because they rebelled against Daddy. They rebelled against David. I don't think the halacha morid b'malchus extends that far. That's another problem. Yeah?
Wouldn't you think that David would know that?
Yeah, probably.
So if he knows that, then why would he ask Shlomo to do that?
So again, I think that's a fair question, and we might give an answer a little bit later, but let's just focus on another problem. What keeps on repeating here also, or it's the first indication of something that we know about Shlomo that comes up. Let me give you a hint. Look at Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Tes. They say something about Shlomo. He's a wise guy. Well, not wise guy in that sense, but he's a wise man. David is saying, Shlomo, you take care of them because you're wise. V'osisa kichachmasecha. Take care of Yoav, may use wisdom. Now, how much wisdom do you need to go and to kill somebody? Right? If it's that, let's assume that David is telling Shlomo, Shlomo, I want you to settle the score. If I'm assuming that Yoav deserved to die based on what he did to David beforehand, so I don't need great chachma on Shlomo's part to just carry out what Daddy wanted. What exactly is the chachma over here, I think, is worth focusing on. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
So now, let's just talk very briefly about some specifics, and then we'll try to read on in the perek, and we'll try to give a suggestion to answer some of these problems. Some of the specific points I want to make just very, very briefly. Pasuk Aleph, Ayikravu Yemei David Lamos. David is beginning. David's days are ending. He's nearing his death, and he commands Shlomo, his son. What word is missing in this pasuk? Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamos. When I was like 9 years old, so the youth groups in the shul had a haftorah learning project. They taught the boys how to lay in Haftorahs. This is the first Haftorah I learned how to lay in. I learned this in junior congregation when I was 9. Yeah, so I'm very fond of this parak.
The summons to Shlomo?
There's a summons. Okay, so assuming Shlomo's there already, so you don't need to call him in. But by Yikrivu Yimei David, there's a word missing in this pasuk. Hamelach. You would think that it would say David is the king, right? David the king is about to die. David Hamelach. It doesn't say David Hamelach. It just says by Yikrivu Yimei David, almost that David the individual is dying. Now, it,
wasn't Shlomo already coronated?
So Shlomo's already coronated, right? So what we have over here is a fascinating situation, no? Which is that David is no longer the king, but David is still around.
Emeritus.
Right? The king emeritus. Mashal amaha davar dome Benedict. Lahavdo elef elef avdolos. No? Benedict is what? Pope? Not pope. Right? What is it? The pope that was removed from popehood. Right? So David is king, but he's not really king anymore. He's not functioning as king. So now David is calling his son Shlomo in, and he's giving him advice, but he's no longer functioning as king. One could suggest as follows, that the reason why David HaMelech cannot carry out the punishments now against Yoav, against Shimei, again, right, is because I'm no longer the king. Shlomo is the king. And by the way, at the very end of the this section, it says that Shlomo sits on David's throne, Vatikol Malchuso Ma'od, and his kingdom is very well established. Vatikol Malchuso Ma'od. It's very well established. You know what that means? That means that what we're saying is that Shlomo HaMelech is not just ruling. He had been the ruler from beforehand, but he becomes very well established when David dies. Until David died, people are looking at Shlomo like he's not the real king. No? Because former king is still around. Now that David died, Shlomo is really filling in the role. So one could argue, perhaps, that David is no longer functioning as king, and that's the pshat at the beginning of this thing in this parak. Yeah?
Right. As you mentioned earlier, you said that Shlomo could not take care of those people because they didn't do anything to him. They did something to his father.
Yeah.
So how does that reconcile with what you just said?
We're going to talk about it. Wait. In other words, Shlomo... How would Shlomo end up killing... Right, we'll see. The end result is that Shlomo is going to kill Yoav and Shimei. How does he do that? Right? If they rebelled against David, they didn't rebel against him. You have to hold on. We're not done with the end. But what I'm suggesting now is that David didn't kill Yoav and Shimei because David no longer was the king and he couldn't. Now, how come David didn't kill Yoav beforehand? The answer probably was just like politically he couldn't. There's always excuses. Now, Yoav is a very powerful general. David needed him. Shimei, right? The pasuk over here says with respect to Shimei, pasuk ches, v'eshava lo b'Hashem leimor amitcha b'charev. David is saying, you know, I couldn't kill Shimei myself because I swore to him. I took a shavua that I'm not going to kill you, Shimei. So we have all these reasons why David couldn't do it, right? And even though Yoav, theoretically, he could have, because you reach a certain point, you don't need the general anymore, right? It's the end of your rule. But still, he's no longer the king, so he can't do it. We'll talk about the Shlomo angle in a few minutes.
Okay,
now, yeah, we just got to move. There's so much to do.
Is the actual halacha that if you were something was done to you while you were king that warrants those people's death, But that king has to kill him and not the next king?
I think so, yeah. I think that's the halacha. Okay. I mean, again, but I wouldn't say that the king has to kill him. What we'll talk about in a few minutes, that the Rambam's expression of Mori B'Malchus is that Mori B'Malchus is always a reshus. It's a discretionary right. If I want to kill the person, I can, but I don't have to. We'll talk about that. Maybe. Depends on my mood.
Okay. Even using that thought, it wouldn't make sense that
we just got to move. Yeah,
the David wouldn't kill him because if the halacha is that he has to.
He doesn't have to.
No, but you just said that
he has
the right to kill him. He doesn't have to kill him. We're going to talk about that. Okay, we got to move. Let's go on. So now, let's read Pasuk Hey carefully. Okay? Pasuk Beis, by the way, is also interesting. David says, I'm dying, v'chazak tovi yisal ish, you should be strong and be an ish. What does v'yisal ish mean? So according to Chazal, that Shlomo's not yet bar mitzvah, yisal ish is very simple. Become a man. Today I am a fountain pen. Right? Or it could be v'yisal ish in the sense that you should be a gibar, you should control yourself. Effectively, the Balei Musar speak out that what's going on is that David HaMelech is giving Shlomo advice. His advice is, Shlomo, unless you control yourself, unless you keep Torah and mitzvahs, and you harness your desires, you won't be able to control the kingdom. Right? So the first thing that he tells him is keep Torah and mitzvahs. That's Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Now, Pasuk Hey. You know what Yoav did, right? What Yoav did to these two generals, Avner and Amasa, and he killed them. But how did I read that? What did Yoav do to David himself?
He caused tension.
So he caused tension.
He killed Avshalom.
The Radak comments. Yeah, the Radak has two Perushim over here, the second Radak that I give you. Asher Asali means Asher Asal Lishnei Sarei Tzivos Yisrael V'li Asal Masha Asal Lahem. In other words, the Radak's first explanation is that Asher Asali doesn't mean that Yoav did anything to David directly. It's that Yoav killed Avner and killed Amasa, and that affected me. But then, right, the Radak has a second comment, which I underlined. V'yesh mefarshim asher asali shaharag avshalom. U'lepeirish zeh, yeah, asher asali chaser vav hashimosh. It should be va'asher asali. In other words, the second explanation of the Radak is that David HaMelech is saying, you know what this Yoav guy did? Yoav killed my son Avshalom. One. Two. He killed Avner. Three, he killed Amasa. What that really means, I think, the difference between explanation one and explanation two is, according to explanation one, this is not personal at all. Asher Asali is saying that he impacted on my kingdom, on my rule, but it's not hitting close to home. According to explanation two, what David is saying to Shlomo is, Asher Asali, he killed Avshalom. Now, if this is correct, one second, Lottie, if this is correct, so then what we're saying is like this. We're saying that explanation two is arguing that Shlomo is avenging a personal debt that David had. Right? It's not just about the kingdom. It's personal. That's already a different type of situation than we said before. I don't know how much to expound upon this, but I think this comment of the Radak is interesting. Lottie.
Didn't the three people or two of them see David as a Moabite and have never...
Yes, so never obviously...
It, so that wasn't personal, it was against the kingdom.
But none of that is explicit in the text. That is like the drushos. And what we're trying to do is to try to keep to the text as much as we possibly can. But I think the Asher Asali, according to this pshat, is certainly personal. The simple thing of the text is just that, you know what, Avner, remember, what happened with Avner and what happened with Amasa? In both cases, Avner had been a general who was working with Shaul and Ishbosheth, and then Avner was going to move over to David's camp, and after he agrees to move over to David's camp, that's when Yoav stabs him. Amasa also, right? Amasa had been with Avshalom, and then Amasa is leaving, and he's going to return to David, and that's when Yoav stabs him. And that's what the pasuk means, Vayosem Demei Milchama Bishalom. He made the price of war be paid in peace. In other words, it's perfectly legitimate to kill someone in war. But after the war is over, after Avshalom is gone, and now his former general wants to come to the other side, and we say, okay. And after Avner wants to join up with David, you kill him then. That's what's wrong. Right, David's taina on Yoav is Vayosem Demei Milchama Bashalom, that you did it when the war is over. It's a time of peace. And then he writes Vayitain Demei Milchama B'Chagorasa Asher B'Masnav Nala Asher B'Raglav. In other words, that you killed in a sneaky sort of way. Right. So David's tainas against Yoav is you are a wimpy killer. Because, right, if you're going to kill at the time of war like a brave man, fine. But what did he do? How did he kill? So, Chazal say, right, he asked a question. Gidemes echoletzes. How do you do chalitza if you don't have any hands, right? So he bends down to show with his teeth. Ah, I got ya. Right? That's wimpy. That's not the way you're supposed to kill. Be tough, right? Kill in a brave sort of way. Don't kill that way. Orly, you had a question before? I don't think so. I think that makes it worse, almost.
So then it would only be the political...
Right. Correct. The personal approach, that second approach in the Radak, I think, creates a bigger problem rather than solving any problems. It's interesting, but it creates a bigger problem. Fine. Now, Pasuk Zayin speaks about Barzilai HaGil Adi. Barzilai is the one character who does not make it to the end of the perek. Right? The perek basically talks about how eventually Shlomo kills Yoav. Shlomo kills Shimi ben Gera. Shlomo kills Adoniah. Right? Shlomo exiles Evyasar the Kohen. Right? He gets even at all those people. Barzilai, the guy you're supposed to be nice to, for some reason doesn't make it to the end of the perek. And that is interesting. Something to put in your pipes and smoke. Hold on to it.
Nice guys finish last.
What?
Nice guys finish last.
Nice guys don't get their due reward in this perek. It happens later. Barzilai does get his reward, but in this perek, he doesn't get the reward. Now, we raised the issue of what requires the great wisdom of Shlomo. Actually, let's just do one more thing. Pasuk Ches, Vihine Imcha Shim'i Ben Gera. What does Imcha Shim'i Ben Gera mean?
With you.
With you. How is Shim'i with Shlomo? So, there's a few explanations given. Either Shim'i lived in Yerushalayim, he's close to Shlomo anyway. That's a simple explanation. That's why Rashi takes it. But there might be a razzle-dazzle approach. If you remember Parak Aleph, so Adoniah is putting together his team, and there's some people who join with Adoniah and some people who don't. Sadok HaKoyim, Benayahu Ben Yehoyada, Nosan HaNavi, Shimi, and Me, right, that's Parak Aleph, Pasuk Ches, they are not with Adoniah. So it could be that Shim'i is Imcha. He's with you, Shlomo. He never joined up with Adoniah ben Chagit. That's the way the Malbim understands this pasuk. Fine. Let's read the next section, the section of Adoniah. And we'll try to focus on what requires this great chachma of Shlomo that we pointed out in the first section. So let's just read Psukim Yud Gimel until Chaf Ches, right? Until the next Malbim. Let's just read that next section and then we'll make a few comments on it. I don't know how much further we'll get in the Perek, but we'll make comments on this next section. Should I give out English translations? That'd be easier in the future. I happen to. Okay, so who wants to tell me what is the basic episode over here? Adoniyah ben Chagit. Who does he come to speak to? Not really.
No, but
Shlomo's mother, Bathsheba.
Right?
Adoniyah ben Chagit goes to Bathsheba, and what does he request? He requests Avishai. Right? He wants to marry Avishai Kashunamis, who had been the comforter, quote-unquote, of King David. Gotcha. Now, does Bathsheba think that this request is legitimate?
Yes.
Yeah. No? She thinks it's a great request. She goes to speak to Shlomo. Shlomo basically says, what the heck? Right? He's not asking for Avishai. He's asking to be the king. Off with his head. No? That's basically the story, no? So now, what was Bathsheba thinking? Why was she thinking that this is a good request? And why does Shlomo think it's not a good request? That's really the basic question that we have to address in this section. So I would suggest as follows, two things. One thing is just like looking at this, you know, there's always the question about study of Tanakh. Do you look at people like they are normal human beings who are motivated by normal things? Or do you look at them like they're supermenschen whose motivations are totally different than ours would be? Now, one could argue, if you take the approach of looking at like normal people, so Adoniyah ben Chagit does not approach Shlomo with the request. He approaches Bathsheba. He's trying to find an in. And he says, you know what? Maybe Bathsheba doesn't want this other woman to be around the palace. And maybe I have a way of getting Avishag for myself. Because, right, if I can convince Bathsheba, you know what? You don't want Avishag around. No? So that will help my cause. Because what Adoniyah really wants is, he wants to be king. Shlomo read that accurately. But Bathsheba maybe was blinded by her own personal desire not to have a threat in the palace. Right? Remember, who's around the palace, right? There is a chair for Ima Shel Malchus. There is a throne for the king's mother. Who is that woman? Who's the senior woman in the palace? So Chazal say it's Rus. Chazal say it's Rus. But the Radak writes about that Chazal that that is Rachok Ma'ot. It's very far from simple pshat. Right? Ima Shel Malchus is probably Batsheva herself. But Batsheva always realized that there's a little threat to me called Avishag Hashunamis. I don't want Avishag around the palace. So maybe that's why she goes along with Adoniyah's request. That is one mahalach that we could say orally.
What happens to all the other wives? If the next
so the other wives have been wives of the other wives of David presumably were living somewhere else. David is no longer the king; he's dead. They probably are living somewhere outside. The two women who are around from the previous administration, right? That's again, I have no evidence to this. It's a suggestion. But maybe. You're asking a good question. What about all the other wives? I don't know.
She was the last one, so she
had a certain in.
Yes.
Now, look at the Malbim on the second side. Right? Bathsheba goes to Shlomo to speak about Adoniyahu, or to speak for Adoniyahu, right? So how does the Malbim understand the situation? Batsheva chashva ki ze yia letovas Shlomo gamkein ki baze yashuv elav la'ahava b'shi yimalei cheshek libo v'ze shekhasav l'daber lo b'shvil tovas Shlomo. Meaning to say Batsheva has a calculation. She says, you know, it's going to be good for Shlomo if Adoniyahu takes Avishag. Why? Because Adoniyahu is a threat to Shlomo. Let's mollify Adoniyahu by giving him this one little thing that he wants that will remove the tension. That's Bathsheba's approach. Bathsheba's approach is what we would call, right, Chamberlain. Her approach is saying, you know what, let's give this one little bit, we'll pacify, and that will solve the problem in the government, because Adoniyahu is a real threat. Shlomo HaMelech reads into the situation and says, whoa, no, sorry. As a matter of halacha, the only person who possibly can marry Avishag Hashunamit is me. Because as an Isser, Hishtamish B'Sharvito HaMelech, the king's scepter can't be used by anyone other than another king. So Shlomo is allowed to be with Avishag because David had never slept with Avishag, right? So Shlomo can be with her, but Adoniyah can't be with her.
Why not?
Because since Avishag was used by the king, she's Sharbito Shamal, she's no worse than the king's stick. So Adoniyah, who's not the king, can't marry her, halachically. But Shlomo is the king, Shlomo can. So Shlomo recognizes that really what Adoniyahu is asking for is that I should be the king. Right? He knows that as a matter of halacha, if he marries Avishag, that's going to show that he's the king. So therefore Shlomo says, I can't have any of this. Go away. Right? You're going to be killed. I can't deal with it. End of discussion. Now, when we set it up this way, I think we get a sense of a degree of chachma that Shlomo has. Shlomo's chachma is to read the situation accurately. To be maven domi tov davar, to understand the personalities. Even Bathsheba was duped over here. Bathsheba thinks that, you know what, we could pacify, we could get him away, that would be better. Shlomo says, no siri. That's the chachma. There's a sense of, right, in the contrast in the psukim, in the beginning of the parak, the first four psukim are saying, keep Torah. Keep Torah doesn't require using your own mind. Listen to what Hashem says. End. Do as told. But asisa kachachma secha means God gave you a mind. Use that mind, right? How? In terms of understanding the personalities, etc. Now, a few things to note, just very quickly. This idea of marrying the king's former wife, or the king's pilegesh, right? The king's consort, right? This idea is found in many places of Tanakh, and always it is a sign of real rebellion. In other words, Shlomo knew from elsewhere that marrying the Pilegesh, besides like this halachic argument of being mishtamish b'sharfito shel melech, but marrying the Pilegesh shows that you are the ruler. Look in Shmuel Beis Perek Gimel. There's a war between Shaul and David. Avner is in Shaul's house. Shaul has a Pilegesh named Ritzba Bas Aya, right? And Ishbosheth goes to Avner and he says, how come you had relations with daddy's Pilegesh? How come you, Avner, had relations with Ritzba Bas Aya? And Avner gets very upset and he says, who are you accusing, blah 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 and blah. Now what's going on over here? What's this accusation that Ishbosheth is making against Avner? Avner is his own general, and this is, by the way, what leads Avner to leave Ishbosheth and to try to join David's team. The accusation is Ishbosheth is saying, you know what, you're taking the Pilegesh, that means that you're saying that you're the king, because only a king could take the Pilegesh. And therefore, Ishbosheth is saying, hey, Avner, you can't take the Pilegesh. Let's go on. Avshalom, Shmuel Beis Perek Tes Zayin, right? Avshalom asks Achitophel for some advice. Achitophel says, here's the advice, Avshalom. Go and sleep with the Pilegeshim of David. That's going to prove that you're really the king, no? And they go up to the roof, etc., and everyone watches, right? That's the story over there. Being with the king's Pilegeshim is a sign that I am saying that I am the king. And that itself might be, right? In other words, I'm saying I'm the leader. I'm taking over your wives. That means that I'm now the leader. And that's something that Shlomo recognized. Now, the next point we're making is very controversial. What's his name? Rabbi Alex Israel, in his shir that he gives on this parak, makes this point. It's controversial because of the following idea. You know, the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayishlach, Rachel dies and she's buried. Yaakov buries Rachel, and then he pitches a new tent, etc. Vahi b'shkon Yisrael ba'aretzahi pasuk chaf beis. Reuven goes and he sleeps with Bilhah, Yaakov's Pilegesh, and Yisrael hears, and the Jewish people are all 12. What's going on over here? Now we know Chazal say that kol ha'omer Reuven kata inu ala Torah, right? But pshuto shemikra, what's going on here? What's the lesson going on from Reuven sleeping with the Pilegesh, with Bilhah?
But he's a covenantal
son. So he's saying that I'm the son. In other words, the real wife. Everyone knows that Rachel's the most beloved wife. Rachel just died. Reuven reads the situation and says, you know what, that means that maybe daddy is going to be all destroyed and he won't be functioning as king anymore. And I'm going to go and I'm going to fill in that vacuum. And therefore he goes and he sleeps with Bilhah. Again, this is Pshuto Shemekah Chazal, this is all wrong. According to Pshuto Shemekah, he's going to sleep with Bilhah to show that I'm the leader. Because like what we showed from a few different places in Tanakh, from Avner and from Avshalom, and over here from Adoniah, that sleeping with the king's Pilegesh, sleeping with the leader's wife, is a sign that I'm the leader. And that's what Reuven wanted. That could create a very serious rift among the family. The pasuk says, "By Yubin and Yaakov Shnimos." So Yaakov insisted he kept the family together. Right? That's the raya that there was no real avera. So the basic point that we're trying to make over here is twofold. First of all, the chachma of Shlomo is in terms of interpersonal skills, recognizing who's out to get him and trying to kill those people. That's one point, right? And that chachma is not Torah wisdom. It's just plain wisdom. The way we see that is that Shlomo recognizes what Adoniah is doing is wrong, and then the pasuk continues that Shlomo goes and he calls Evyasar. Why is he calling Evyasar? He's calling Evyasar because Evyasar, he recognized, had been supporting Adoniah with this plan to marry Avishag, to marry the Pilegesh. So Shlomo says, you know what, I'm not only going to punish Adoniyahu, who's trying to get the power, but all those who are supporting him, Evyasar also, I'm going to punish. David never told Shlomo to punish Evyasar. But Shlomo is trying to do it himself. Why? Because he recognizes that these are the supporters of Adoniyahu, and he has to get back at them, and that's going to explain what's going on with Yoav later on. Now, the key point that we want to make, though, is as follows. We ask the question, how could Shlomo possibly be punishing people who were Morei B'Malchus David? The answer is they're not. They are being Morei B'Malchus of Shlomo. Because when Adoniyahu is saying, give me the king's former wife, he's saying, I'm the king now. Ooh, that's more B'Malchus of me. Then I can kill you. Right? So the chachma over here, right, is to recognize that this is going up against his malchus. This is not trying to even the score from what happened with David. What happened with David is past history. This is, right, and I can't punish you for that. You're not more b'malchus against me. This is more b'malchus against Shlomo. And therefore, that's why they're going to be killed. That's one approach. There's one other approach I'll just say for 30 seconds and then we'll break. The other approach, very quickly, is that there are two ways a king can kill. And I think there's a point that Lev made earlier. Right? One way a king could kill is based on Morei B'Malchus. You're rebelling against the king. There's another way a king could kill based on Dinei HaMalchus. Dinei HaMalchus means as follows. If the king sees that society is falling apart, he has a right to kill people to maintain law and order. But that requires a degree of chachma. That requires an awareness that, you know what, this is really destroying society. Right? If I want to kill me, Dinei HaMalchus, not based on Morei B'Malchus, you're not rebelling against me, but Dinei HaMalchus means I'm using my kingly authority to kill you. Why am I doing that? I'm doing that because you're destroying society. Ah, you're destroying society, so then I'm going to punish you. So these are some of the points I wanted to make. Once again, I thank you for coming and for listening, and have a good night.